Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
So I think I've said this before. I think their PR department is utterly incompetent. And I think we should probably send our resumes to them.
Well, being incontinent is no joke.
No, and, incompetent.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what you were accusing them of.
It's Tom Bowerly.
You know what? Been there, done that, and it's weird, but,
no.
You know, you got. I'm sorry, I'm a grown-up.
And David Bellavia.
The whole thing, really? You enjoy that? I don't.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia.
I mean, I would immediately change topics.
On News Radio 930 WBEN.
It is 10 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And we're asking you guys about what Memorial Day means to you and also your family. Because, you know, Alan Harris, our traffic reporter, he actually had an ancestor or two, a direct ancestor or two, die in the Battle of Gettysburg. And actually buried at the Soldier Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So, you know, I can sit here and I can talk about the Battle of Gettysburg as an abstraction, you know, based on Haskell's letter to his brother. And they met at Gettysburg and the books about Lee invading the North. So to me, it's a it's an abstraction. It's a study. It's very forensic. But, you know, to somebody like Alan Harris, I mean, he actually had a blood relative or two who died in the Battle of Gettysburg. And you may very well, you know, I sometimes do wonder if we have people listening to this show who have taken the time to do their family history or something. And you actually had an ancestor who died during the Revolution. Or given the fact that we're right here in Western New York, which was, believe it or not, ground zero for the War of 1812. There were like three different ground zeros for the War of 1812. And we happen to be one on the Niagara frontier. A lot of action took place in 1812, 1814, right here in Western New York. I mean, that whole road from Youngstown, New York, all the way down to Buffalo was absolutely filled, both sides of the border, with mayhem, bloodshed, raiding parties, and all kinds of military action. In fact, at the Amherst Museum, they actually have a cannonball that they dug out of the ground right around Maine and Garrison in the village of Williamsville. And the village of Williamsville has a road called Garrison Road. And why is it called Garrison Road? It's called Garrison Road because after the British and the Canadians routed the Americans in Buffalo, the Americans retreated to Garrison Road, that area. In fact, where Garrison Park is right now is thought to have been the site of the military hospital during the War of 1812 here in Western New York. We have the War of 1812 Cemetery on Arrow Drive in Cheektowaga, right by that tunnel under which you'll sometimes see the jets pass overhead. So, you know, I do wonder if we have anybody who's been here long enough that had ancestors who died in the War of 1812, or, you know, the war nobody knows anything about, the Mexican-American War in the 1840s, or the Civil War. The what are known as the Indian Wars, the Spanish-American War, which didn't see a lot of American death in combat, but did see a lot of American death because of malaria and other diseases. And one of the components of the Spanish-American War was also in the Philippines. And it's really weird because in the Spanish-American War, you actually had one guy who was a general for the United States Army in the Spanish-American War in 1898, who 30 years earlier had been a Confederate general during the American Civil War. So he went from the blue uniform to the gray uniform back to the blue uniform. He was a professional soldier, a soldier's soldier. And, of course, you know, World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, Vietnam, Grenada, Desert Storm, a couple of times. So, you know, we have both people listening to us who conceivably have lost ancestors during the course of this country's history, and also people who have lost folks that were real flesh and blood to them. In recent conflicts. I mean, even going back to the Second World War, I mean, we have people walking around right now who literally lost their dad in the Second World War or never knew their grandfather because they died in the Second World War. These things, serve as a reminder that the expression Happy Memorial Day is it's inappropriate. I don't think it's mean-spirited. I don't think it's I don't think people mean to be rude, but Happy Memorial Day is it's about as appropriate as saying Happy Funeral. And even my family, that's sick. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN if you'd like to tell us who you're going to be remembering on Memorial Day. Let's go to Terry on WBEN. You are on.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think about it. It's been every Memorial Day, it feels like. He was a commander of mine. His name's John Tipton. He's a captain. He's in charge of HAC 116 out of Fort Riley, Kansas, Big Red One. He died KIA May 2004. We were in Ramadi, Iraq, Camp Junction City. The thing that stands out about the most to me about him and why I think I remember him so much is that, I was enlisted. He was an officer, so it ain't like we hung out together at the club or anything like that. But he seemed to take a liking to our scout platoon, which he was infantry and cavalry. You know, there was always some sort of, you know, rivalry type of thing going on. But anyways, long story short, I got to know him real well because he liked to go out on missions with us, specifically quick reaction force missions. Where another unit was in trouble or friendly forces were in trouble, and we responded immediately to whatever whatever need be. And one night we were on a cordon. Basically, we were providing security for special forces and whoever else knows, you know, that was above my pay grade to know. But our job was just to kind of make sure nobody made it out of a perimeter. And Captain Tipton was in the truck with me. He was sitting. We were both in the rear seats, and it gave us a lot of time to talk while we were prepping and getting everything ready to go. And a couple things happened that night for me is, one, I stopped looking at him as like a commander, as an officer, because he opened up. We spoke about life, about war, just random stuff in general, kind of BS, and that brought him down, not brought him down to my level, but maybe he brought me up to his. And, I knew he had said that he had a baby on the way, and, he was looking forward to getting back home because we were going to redeploy. This was May, so we returned, like, late September, same year. And, we just talked about life, what I was going to do when I got out of the military, things like that. And he ended up making it through that mission and everything. But he ended up being killed by mortars. We had what they called mortar men, which was basically they drive around in pickup trucks, shoot a bunch of mortars from their pickup trucks at the base, and take off, we'd try to go find them if we could. Captain Tipton was in his office. He heard the mortar explosions, and he stood up to look out of the window to make sure, I guess, from what I hear from the people that were in the office, that what needed to be done, and just being a commander in general. And unfortunately, he did catch some shrapnel and succumb to those wounds. I find myself thinking about him a lot because, I don't know, just thinking about his baby, that he never got to meet his baby, and all the optimism that he had for when he got back. I think about, what it's like for him and his wife, or for his wife and their daughter. I don't know. But he was a dedicated soldier. He was a good commander, and he put duty first, like a lot of the, like every single person that we're going to honor on Memorial Day. That's what I think about.
You know, and it's funny because you don't expect. One of the things that I try to explain to civilians is that sometimes in the military, you don't really expect to see people again. You know, they go off to other units or maybe they get out, but the world is big and life gets crazy. And it's very real that you go to another unit and for 4 or 5 years, you never speak to a buddy of yours that you just went to the other side of the world. So when you lose someone, it's really, it's difficult to get that closure because you're just constantly used to that nomadic lifestyle where you go from place to place. And when someone goes, it's like they don't really go. You know what I mean? It's harder for those guys to kind of.
Is it? Are you saying that it's harder to think of it as actually real and final?
Exactly.
Because you don't really have that closure.
Exactly. You're just right back to your job.
It's almost like the person becomes almost like a ghost.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't mean that in the spiritual sense. I mean that as a metaphor.
You're not allowed to properly mourn or properly deal with your feelings because you've got to go out and do your job the next hour. Terry, was that like that for you too?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, obviously, when guys are ETSing and things like that, there's not quite that same finality. But when people are injured during the course of combat, you know, actions and things like that, or somebody dies, specifically, you know, Captain Tippin and numerous other soldiers that I can't right off the top of my head rattle off their names. But, you know, when you stand in front of the M16 with the Kevlar on top and the boots at the bottom and the dog tags hanging. And for me, what kills taps is a big one for me. That'll trigger some emotion in a heartbeat. But the calling off, I think the finality a little bit kind of set in when they do roll call and they call off a couple soldiers' names that are standing there in the formation. And then they get to that name of the deceased and they sound off their name, I think, 3 times. And that person doesn't respond, obviously. And then they go into taps and, you know, things like that. And, I mean, that kind of really, really hit home because, for me, when I was in Iraq, I felt like we're the United States military. We're invincible. But you see people get hurt and injured and, you know, you like David said, you don't really have an option to look at it from an emotional standpoint. You got to figure out how to not let that happen again, find the people responsible for it. And continue to move forward because if you get
all right, Terry, if you could hold on because this is one of the most compelling calls that we've heard from you. To be brutally honest with you, Memorial Day 2018, your telephone calls might be somebody from your family history. It might be somebody that was real, living flesh and blood to you. But whom are you going to be memorializing on Memorial Day? 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Terry, you know, the way you were describing it, I think a lot of us almost felt like we were there when you talked about how taps hit you.
Yeah, it's definitely emotional. It really doesn't matter what movie I'm watching or where the sound comes from. Almost immediate tears every single time. And that's just from being at those formations and kind of catching yourself. If any moment is emotional, it's that one. But like David was saying, and I was saying before the break, is that you really don't have a chance in a combat theater to be in touch with your emotions and your feelings, because if you did, I mean, you wouldn't be there. You'd be gone. You'd be thinking of any other reason but to do your job. I mean, it's a scary environment, obviously, but you realize you're there to do a mission, and only after the fact do you really sit back and go, holy crap, I mean, I can't believe that I was just involved in that. I mean, I was a newlywed when I deployed, and I was a little, you know, I'm 22 years old or something like that at the time, and, you know, we didn't have phones when I got there in September 2003. We didn't have phones and all that. We were still doing snail mail, but eventually we got the phone, and I'd be on the phone with my wife. And, you know, when I did call, because I was so concentrating on mission, and I'd be like, I can't be here back in the world with you because I want to be focused on what it is that I'm doing. And so, again, long story short, I mean, you really got to push all that stuff aside. And only when you come home and have a chance to, you know, have a couple drinks and really sit back and think about it, you know, you're like, wow. I mean, that's crazy.
All right, Terry, thank you very much. And
good job, Terry.
Appreciate your call. Wow, heavy duty. I mean, David, we talked about this before. Maybe we'll get into it coming up after the news. But, I mean, you've got some thoughts about the Americanization of combat zones with the fast food outlets and everything else and the distractions that might not be helpful to the mission as a whole.
Absolutely.
Pretty awesome weather outside. Hey, we're going to also, you know, ask you guys, what are your plans this weekend? I mean, what are you guys doing? I mean, it is a holiday weekend. It is a solemn holiday weekend. Is this truly the weekend you're going to break out the grill, or has this already been accomplished at your house? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Man, David, what a difference a year makes, because I got to tell you, last year, of course, while celebrating respectfully the Memorial Day holiday weekend, I broke out a friend's grill. It was not my own grill, but it was a friend's grill, and grilled up some delicious, hot, spicy Minio and Sapio Italian sausages. I had the green peppers and the onions cut up, and I had them cooking over the flame in the pan with plenty of butter. Had those large overstuffed rolls that you want to put in the, you just want to load it up with the Italian sausage. And if you're feeling especially ravenous, you want to put two Italian sausages in one of the rolls and just absolutely smother them with delicious peppers and onions. And, you know, if you just looked at peppers and onions or just ate raw peppers and onions.
Is this a Payne's restaurant ad? What's going on?
Wouldn't be a big deal. But when you get them nice and soft and you saute them in butter and you ladle them generously over that overstuffed roll with that Italian sausage, oh, is there anything like that? Unfortunately, that's not going to be happening this year.
So much for that.
They tend to frown on that. I don't know why.
Well, you know what else they frown on, Tom?
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this, David.
Now, listen, are you the type of guy, there is a certain element, depending on a man's age or a woman's age, there are certain things that you forgive when a person gets to a certain age, right? I don't think anyone is really upset that George H.W. Bush gets a little grabby. You know, it shouldn't happen. It's disgusting. But he's 90 years old, and he's going to grab a cute girl's butt. That's what 90-year-old men do.
Oh, is George Herbert Walker Bush known to...
Like 12 people have come forward.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Only when he's gotten super old, though.
Well,
During the presidential years. It was like he's kind of grabby. But recently, in central New York, Rome, New York, a place that Sean Murphy used to work at in a restaurant next to this.
Sean Murphy, who works on this show, whose birthday was yesterday and Phil Kennedy's birthday is today.
True. At a Denny's restaurant in Rome, New York, a guy named Clarence H. Locke Jr. was being served by a 23-year-old waitress, and for whatever reason, completely unacceptable, inexcusably, he grabs her buttocks in what it looks like a slapping motion, maybe a slight squeeze of a cheek.
What I saw was a guy who basically tried to give a spank to the waitress's rear end as the server walked away from the table, but it didn't really look to me like he made solid contact.
No, he wanted to probably, but he just kind of patted a cheek is what ended up happening. At any rate, the woman reacts to it in the video. You can see it in the surveillance film. But now they're pressing charges against him. This guy could get up to a year in prison. He could get up to a year in prison for forcibly touching a Class A misdemeanor.
I think three years
probation.
The chance of him seeing up to a year in jail over this, I think, is slim and none. I'm sensing a sensitivity training sentencing and maybe some community service. Now, what this guy did, now, we don't know. Has it been made clear in any of the articles what this guy's pre-existing relationship with this server was? He's a regular at the restaurant. Was this the regular server? Did they have a kidding, joking around relationship? I mean, that's not been made clear in any. I mean, all you see in the video is you see this guy, this older guy, and he tries to spank the buttocks of a woman walking away from him. Now, if this is their first interaction and they did not have a friendly relationship, I would suggest that this is inappropriate behavior, and especially in 2018, society tends to frown on this.
His wife was in the bathroom at the time.
So he's there with his wife. The server knows he's there with his wife.
Because she ate at Denny's. She's in the restroom. And so then he has the opportunity where he could say, you know, thank you for the refreshed cup of coffee, whatever. He makes a choice that really, there's no call for that. If that was my daughter, if that was someone, you know, in my life that I cared for, I would certainly correct that action, because that action does not, there's no reason why you should put your hands on anyone. But to charge him, and he could possibly face 3 years probation or a year in jail, that's ridiculous. That's a stern talking to.
You know what? When you watch the video, we actually put the video of this incident up at Bowerly and Bellavia on our Facebook page. When I watch this video, I see a dirty old man. I guess what could be perceived as a dirty old man. But apparently, you know, the cops and the prosecutor believe that this swat at this young woman's hindquarters merits a criminal complaint. Now, it is Rome, New York. It is Denny's. And, oh, did I mention it's 2018? So I think what did we learn out of this? If unless you're on a joking basis with somebody, you probably don't want to take a swat at their buttocks.
And this person in particular, obviously, you know, to answer your question, what kind of relationship did they have? They had a relationship where she went to the police after being touched on the butt. So there, that should answer that one for you. But there was also another crazy thing. I don't know if you saw the. I've got some news clips here from ABC News. Harvey Weinstein, finally, after this whole national nightmare, this guy is making a perp walk. So they displayed him out there like Che Guevara, basically.
You're talking about the Cuban who was killed by the Bolivian authorities, and the Bolivian authorities proudly showed the bullet-riddled corpses of Che Guevara, who for some reason is a big hero with leftists and their T-shirts, even though he was a notorious homophobe.
Douche.
Yes.
Here is Aaron Katursky.
Harvey Weinstein posted $1 million cash bail, was fitted with a GPS monitoring device, and told to stay away from the two women whose accusations led to criminal charges. Weinstein's attorney said the once powerful producer has entered a plea of not guilty and fully expects to be exonerated. Weinstein is charged with raping a woman and forcing a second woman to perform oral sex. Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance said he thanks the brave survivors who came forward.
Survivors, I mean, Harvey Weinstein wasn't accused of murdering anyone. But as we get into this, this is where this is going to be really tricky for Hollywood. The defense that Harvey Weinstein, who had a smile on his face, very smug, basically like, bring it, what do you got? He's got just $1 million bail, paid cash, tons of money. He's going to have great attorneys.
This is a guy who, as a guy, his private security hires the Mossad.
I'm going to tell you what. If there's a person that is positioned to beat these charges, it's going to take someone that is not Bill Cosby, right? Because at that point, Bill Cosby, honestly, there's a lot of legal problems with that decision, too. Bringing in witnesses who never, ever went public with their charges in a... I think that there's a problem in the appeal process there, too. But in this circumstance, you have Harvey Weinstein. His attorney made a statement saying, essentially, my client did not invent the casting couch. This has been going on for a very long time. It continues to go on now. And now we hear Morgan Freeman is, you know, eight women came forward saying that he's been disgusting. Larry King comes, I believe, Morgan Freeman. I think Morgan Freeman's telling the truth. All these people are now saying that Morgan Freeman is telling the truth. They believe him over these victims. Wait a second. That's not the way the game is played in the Me Too world. The hashtag Me Too world, an allegation is made and your life is over. We believe everything that that person is saying without any shred of evidence or a day in court. And for whatever reason, Morgan Freeman and all these other guys are getting passes. Harvey Weinstein, I mean, it's totally Louis C.K. Doesn't matter.
Oh, we can get into what was said about Morgan Freeman, but getting back to the Harvey Weinstein attorney.
Totally different standard, though, for him.
But you know what, though? I mean, how in the hell is this playing right now in Hollywood? Weinstein's attorney, his proclamation to media today was kind of an in-your-face, bring-it-on proclamation that, hey, he didn't invent the casting couch. And I guess there was the implication, David, that these women are not exactly victims, that they knew exactly what they were getting into probably the minute they stepped off the bus into Hollywood.
Mr. Weinstein did not invent the casting couch in Hollywood, and to the extent that there is bad behavior in that industry, that is not what this is about.
So he's trying to make it from a rape case into a almost like a pornography case. What are the contemporary community standards in Hollywood?
It's almost like when Mike Tyson was accused of rape, his defense was basically, why would you go back to his hotel room? Look at this guy. I mean, you know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
You had to have known what you were doing because this guy is not a normal person. He's an animal. He's a boxer. He's aggressive. You know at 2 in the morning when he lets you in the door exactly what he wants. You knew when you walked in that door. That was what Mike Tyson's defense was. And now you
got... It didn't work.
No, it did not. Now Harvey Weinstein's running around and saying, hey, he didn't invent the dirty, nasty business of Hollywood. He just perfected it.
Okay, can I say something that will be extremely unpopular?
Yes.
Okay. In many ways, I think the attorney is making a very valid point because, frankly, all of these people who are now taking the sanctimonious high ground with the Me Too movement, they knew damn well what Harvey Weinstein was all about. And as long as Harvey Weinstein was the king of Hollywood, he could do anything he wanted, and it was tolerated by the people in that industry who wanted parts, they wanted roles, they wanted to be big Hollywood stars or starlets, and it wasn't exactly a big secret. And I got to tell you, David, I'm a little surprised at this attitude, like this. I'm shocked, I tell you, that is happening in Hollywood, especially regarding Harvey Weinstein.
When Ben Affleck made one comment about anything, all of a sudden it boomeranged back on him. You got people accusing Johnny Depp. You know, there's one actor. Everyone has a story. If you've been around for over 10 years and you've been single for half of that time, there's going to be stories. And again, it's like we've got Russ Brandon from the Buffalo Bills. We have no idea what the hell happened there. But you're going to tell me that Russ Brandon is the only one in the NFL that's doing shenanigans like that? I mean, come on. Brett Favre had a picture of his Super Bowl ring.
For the record, I did never sleep with Russ Brandon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.